This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark, and I'm back with Dave, and we're here to talk about the game against the Thunder and the Cavs. It was a really good game. There were some things in it that obviously didn't go our way. We lost the game by 7. But I appreciated how hard this team competed for 48 minutes. We saw some drama out there. Lou Dort got ejected for a flagrant 2 on Kevin Love, an elbow to the head, neck, shoulder, someplace like that. So that kind of affected us. That was with a couple minutes left in the game. It just, real shitty type of play. I don't think it was a flagrant 2. I don't see why he was ejected. Dave, what'd you think?
If you go by what the NBA rules are and what they're stating is a flagrant 2 foul, then yes, it was a flagrant 2 foul. It's unfortunate because we really needed Dort at the end of the game there. But, to each his own, I guess. Like, if I was sitting there and this was my team and that happened to my player, I would want a flagrant 2 immediately. You got to guard players. You got to guard their faces, throats, all that other stuff. Yes, that means that sometimes one of your best players gets thrown out, but that's the NBA. To me, looking at this game, I felt like we did everything right to win the game except for the most important thing in basketball, and that is put the ball in the hole. We had 15 steals tonight. They had 22 turnovers. We had 20 points off of turnovers. Our bench scored 34. They only had 25 off of their bench. We got more fast break points. We held them to 11. And that's a little high for what we like. But you know what? That's okay, because I'm not going to sit on there and point the finger for that. But we did everything right except for put the ball in the hole. We shot 38% from field goal range. Some of these guys, Bazley 1-for-6, JRE 1-for-9, Dort 3-for-10, Giddey 3-for-12, Dikade 1-for-4, Ty Jerome 1-for-4. These guys struggled tonight. Now, we had some guys that played well, and we'll get into that in a second, but it was really rough to see that just the basic shots weren't going in, and it was for good reason. Last night, we didn't get a lot of sleep. This team didn't get a lot of sleep due to complications and issues in North Carolina due to ice. So this team really suffered, and you could see by the way they played and what I would consider their worst shooting night of the year. It was not fun to watch. It was painful, but at least we stayed in it, and we had fight in us.
Yeah, we did. We fell behind as much as 17 in the third quarter, but all of the fourth quarter was us trying to find a way to get it under 5. And that was something that we really weren't able to do. We cut it to 5. We cut it to 6. We would continue to keep doing that. So we were in it. We weren't able to get it to one possession. But the fact that we fought so hard after being down 17 and we were so committed to trying to find a way to make it go right, we went hard all the way down to the last possession. We were exhausted, and we should be. We just played back-to-backs like you mentioned. Well, here's the thing. When you look at the box score, it becomes pretty apparent, what did go wrong for us. Like you said, we did a lot of things right, but SGA led the way, 29 points on 23 shots, 12 of 23, 3 of 7 from deep, 2 of 5 from free throws, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, right? That's outstanding. But the next leading scorer is Kenny Williams with 12 points. And everybody did kick in a little bit. Everybody was out there. Everybody who played scored. So we got contributions from everybody. But you got to have a second scorer that has more than 12 points.
And tonight, we just could not get any of our second scorers to go. Dort fouled out with, flagrant 2 with 7 or 6 minutes left in the game. So he could have added 4 or 5 or 6 more points there. But the reality is that nobody was just hitting shots. And you could tell. Everybody was tired. Everybody was exhausted. And that's just part of the game, the way it was going. Big night for Trey Mann. He only played 9 minutes. And to me, that's what he needs to be able to play, is that 9 to 20-minute mark right there in his rookie year, because those are the minutes that he's going to really be able to absorb and do well. But 9 minutes, 6 points. He was 2 for 2 in three-pointers, one defensive rebound, but just really he was active on that defensive end. 4 personal fouls in that 9 minutes. You know, that's not something you typically brag about, but it's the physical contact that I love about him. If he can play that shooting guard slash point guard position in being physical at his size, that's a huge plus for us.
Yeah, for sure it is. And since we're playing the Cavs, we saw us the last time kind of have a similar starting lineup where we started 2 bigs. We started JRE and Darius Bazley, and that kind of matches up with Mobley and Allen. I think it's interesting, and you know, I don't know how effective it is when you look at their scores and what they were able to do, but I know there is some really, really good minutes from Bazley out there. I thought he played exceptionally well in the first half. The second half, he had some moments, but as the game went on, we ended up starting to go more with Diakite. He really played well. He's an outstanding player. He doesn't have a lot of experience. There's been a lot of, you know, different things, but here's the thing. With all the adversity he's faced this year, he is a really, really good defender. He hasn't had a lot of minutes, and to be that good of a defender, you know, in limited minutes is impressive, and he's an exceptional finisher. So as the fourth quarter went on, or at the beginning of the fourth quarter, Coach went with Diakite, and then to close out the game, we went with JRE, and Bazley didn't make it back into the game. But, you know, I felt like it was an important game for Bazley. Overall, only 4 points, but he kicked in 7 rebounds and 2 steals, played solid. He knocked down the shot, you know, one shot, actually knocked down 2 free throws, but his defense, you know, his rim protection and the way that he challenged Allen was really important to me, and I thought it was a good game, even though he didn't have a lot of stats.
Yeah, and the thing I love about Diakite's game is that if you watch him, and we all are very familiar with Ibaka and his young game, young career. I remember watching some pre-draft workouts, and even he had an opportunity to play for his country early on. So I watched Ibaka early on, and he reminds me a lot of Diakite in that aspect of he has so much more to grow. You really don't know where his game's going. Nobody saw that Ibaka was going to add a corner three to his game, yet he did that. So in a way, I feel like this is a place that he could go. Ibaka didn't score a lot of points in his our early years in Oklahoma City because it wasn't expected from him. He was expected for his defense and rebound. So Diakite, for me, is that guy that we need to have a young Ibaka coming off that bench, ready to play, ready to do what it takes to throw down if he needs to. He has that fire, which we've talked about before. Great night for him as well, like Mark said. Kenny Hustle, 25 minutes, 12 points in that 25 minutes, 2 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive. What a night by Kenny. 2 for 4 in three-pointers and 5 for 8 on field goals. Mark kind of touched about his scoring. He was a second leading scorer. But more so, what Kenny Hustle brings to the table is so much more. He is everywhere. His 2 offensive rebounds were really, you know, key to us staying in the game. He doesn't give up. He's there at the end of the game playing. I just really respect him, and the way that he plays is truly, truly amazing.
Yeah, I love having him back. You know, all the guys take a lot of cues from him, especially on the defensive end. His rebounding intensity, the way he gets after the ball, and then the way he gets after it on the offensive glass, all of that is really good for the young players to see. And one of the guys I really enjoyed seeing out there with Kenny was Aaron Wiggins. I love having them both on the floor at the same time. Wiggins was 4 of 6 from the field, 1 of 3 from deep, 2 of 3 from the free throw line, 2 rebounds, 2 steals. One of those rebounds was offensive. He just gets after it, and he knows how to, you know, make plays when things are broken. He scored 11 points. He was our third leading scorer. He did that in 21 minutes off the bench, like I mentioned, and I'm just, you know, I love the way Wiggins is balling, and he continues to improve. He had one sequence where he got fouled, knocked down 1 free throw, missed the second one, got his offensive rebound, and then knocked down a shot. So you love seeing plays like that. Heart and hustle, that's what it comes from.
Yeah, and to me, I look at Aaron Wiggins. He's one of those guys that's the future of this Oklahoma City Thunder team. So whether he's going to take that six-man spot coming off the bench, or they decide to put him in that starting position, I really don't care. He's just a phenomenal player. He needs to get 20-plus minutes a game. He's earned it. He is definitely one of those big surprises, not just for us, but for anybody else that watches the Thunder play. He's just a great guy. I'm excited that he's going to be in the with the Oklahoma State Thunder organization for a while. Jerome, he had 16 minutes tonight, 3 points, one block, one steal, three assists, and one rebound. I love how Ty keeps the dribble alive. There's a lot of moments that he was able to push the ball ahead and get assist, but there's also been a few moments where Ty was able to step up and get big stops on defense, pushing the guys in the right direction. Ty understands the game. His impact is much more than just scoring, and that's why he's getting 16 minutes a game right now. If you really like to understand the game, his plus-minus, he's always right there. If not in the plus, he's right next to the low single digits in the minus. So he's always right there. And I get really excited about him because if he can just get things, going, get consistent with his 3-point shot, there's a real spot here in Oklahoma City for him for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. He was shooting really well last year, and this year it's been a little bit more of a struggle, but we've seen some glimpses and we love seeing that. Today, Josh Giddey, 8 points in 34 minutes, 3 of 12 shooting, 1 of 6 from the 3-point line, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds. 2 of those are offensive, 3 assists, and 2 steals. He ended up fouling out, and he scored 8 points. So, not the same offensive game he had last time, but, you love seeing what he does. He can orchestrate the offense, and he did so many good things for us. I'm not worried about this. This is part of being a rookie. You go out there and you have a career high. And you come out and you put up 8 points. No big deal. Becoming, a great NBA player is all about consistency. That takes time and experience. And so we're on it for the long ride with Giddey for sure.
Yeah, and speaking of rookie, JRE, 26 minutes tonight, only 2 points, one steal, one assist, 4 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive. He just continues to impress for me. It's not about scoring for him. Like Mark said with Josh Giddey, you're not looking for that consistent scoring every night with rookies. You're looking for all the little things that they bring to the game. Definitely JRE is one of those special players. I'm getting excited about him. 1 for 9 on field goals, like I mentioned earlier, but I'm not really worried about this. This is a young man that does so many things right. Scoring is just eventually going to come.
Yeah, so like I said, this was a good game. You hate being down 17, but the way we fought back in it, and Cleveland's a really good team. You have to give them a lot of credit. I'm really impressed with what they've built there. And if you had told me that Cleveland was going to be good coming into the season, I probably would have laughed at you. But here we are, and I'm telling you, I like what they have going there. So this was not a bad loss. It was a much better loss than the last loss we had to them. I like how we responded, and I respect the hell out of the team for doing that. With all the adversity we faced today, with 1 minute left, we were down 6, we had the ball, and SGA goes to the free throw line, and he ends up missing both of those free throws, and that could have cut it to 4. That's the type of stuff that, we're going to look back at and be like, all right, that, he scored 29 points. You can't ask for much more, but obviously he's going to, lament that. And then after that, we ended up having another chance. We got the ball back. And how we got the ball back was they called a foul on Wiggins, Ed Malloy did, and he actually overturned his own call. I'm not sure how many times he's done that, but it was the right thing to do. Coach challenged it. It was a successful challenge. So we're back in the same spot, but with less time. We just weren't able to get it done. But we found ourselves in that spot because we worked really hard for it. Obviously, we want to take it the next step and get the execution down, go out on a win. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It's not that big of a deal. We're about the long haul. We want to see this team continue to improve. We know that they're going to go out and work on what they're doing. And that's the important part. That's what we love seeing. And that's why we continue to come back and watch these games no matter what. And speaking of NBA TV, holy cow, they finally made it available to us who are subscribers to NBA You know, the league pass and all that stuff. So we appreciate that we finally, for once, didn't have to illegally stream NBA TV. Thank you, NBA. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. And we'll see you tomorrow. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.